This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being here with us today. Ryan cut my hair earlier in the show. You can go back and watch that on the Annie Fry YouTube channel if you so choose, right after the 12:45 segment. So around 12:57 or so, he snipped it. I would say, I told him he could cut an inch. I would say he took 2 to 3 inches off the length of my hair.
I took some liberties.
I know.
With the hair that you allowed me to cut, and I cut more of it.
And you shaved your beard, and can you say niner niner?
I cannot.
I think you'd be more empowered.
Yeah.
Can you give us like a CB call or something like that? What's your trucker name?
Yeah, what's your handle?
I think it's Super Dude.
That's a big negative there, Ghost Rider.
That matches the hair.
Super
I think you're new to the truck stop. I think you're about to
get some dude.
Taken advantage of.
That mustache needs a ponytail to go along with it.
It doesn't look very good.
Someone says you need a white undershirt tank top.
Yeah.
I said to my kids the other day, I bought undershirts for my son. I don't know if undershirts are a thing anymore, but if you're going to be cold, then wear an undershirt or whatever. And I said something to my husband. I'm like, should he get a wife beater? And my son looked at me like I was the devil.
Yeah, that's the name for him.
I was just trying to explain. And I said to him, like, that is terrible. That is terrible. And then I had to explain to him why that shirt. The 90s were different. How long do we call white undershirts that are tank top undershirts wife beaters? And I mean, I never really even thought of it.
I don't know that we ever consciously stopped.
Well, I did then, because my 15-year-old son looked at me like I should sit and think about what I said.
It's a weird thing because it doesn't come up that much. That's not something that you have to refer to that often for it to come up enough for you to say, I don't do that anymore.
A wife beater tank top was standard.
Yeah.
Issue fair in the 90s, mm-hmm. with your bowl cut and your low-rise baggy jeans. Guys would wear them. Girls would wear them.
That's true. Avril Lavigne would wear those.
Yeah, she made them cool.
And everybody called them wife beaters.
What do we say instead?
I think whatever that guy just said. He said standard white undershirt.
That's a lot of words.
They're called,
I like
an
that.
A-shirt on the package.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does it? But nobody wears.
Did it
the other
ever?
Thing,
did it ever say on the package? Was there ever a package that said "wife beater"?
I'm
hope
sure
not.
There was.
No,
no.
It's not going to be from Hanes, but I bet some.
Yeah, some.
You go to
some
Hot
random,
Topic and pick one up.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet there was.
I felt obligated to stop calling them that.
I guess so, but I don't really know why.
It's terrible.
That's what they were called.
There's just something really interesting about saying a word that you don't even think about saying in front of your 15-year-old son who has no frame of reference for what you're saying, and the judgment they have on your face that you just so casually throw words around like that makes you really think about your life and your decisions.
I think I'm just realizing how much those are not worn. And how much they used to be.
They used to be like old guys.
Well, they were old guy things in the 80s, and then they became a Gen X thing.
What was like the shirt you wore?
Yeah. But it was a cross culture. It was like you could be a skater or you could be in a number of different groups.
You could be a preppy guy.
And you would wear one of those. I don't think I ever really wore those, but you would see a lot of people wearing
grunge, unbuttoned flannel.
John on X says it's a sleeveless t-shirt. But that's a muscle shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what that is. Muscle shirt. Yeah.
You have any of those?
No.
Muscles?
No.
YouTube live chat poll for today. Are you watching the Super Bowl? Give us a call at 314-241-9797 if you want to tell us your plans for the Super Bowl. If you're watching, this seems like it's always kind of a political decision. In the past, it has been. The NFL has been super political. Now, there's always this thing about... I got probably one of my most trafficked tweets ever was about me. It was when Chris Stapleton sang the national anthem maybe 2 years ago. And I made a comment on X that I was not going to be watching the Super Bowl. I was like, Chris Stapleton, national anthem, killed it. Now on to watching some Disney movie because I won't be watching the Super Bowl. And I don't know if it was like Chank or something like that. Somebody huge was like, nobody cares. And they basically attached the fact that I was a conservative talk show host to the fact that I didn't want to watch a Super Bowl. Like it was this huge, big statement. No, I'm in St. Louis. I think the NFL is the meanest piece of crap in the history of pieces of crap. I don't like, I think that year the Super Bowl might have been the Rams when that happened, possibly. And I was just a woman scorned and I didn't want to do it. But everybody just slapped on to my non-wanting of any consumption of the Super Bowl because I was Republican. And that was certainly not it. I ended up replying back to people like, you're not even on, I'm from St. Louis. This is a completely, totally different thing. And it was good for engagement, but why is it so political? I just don't even understand. Are you watching the Super Bowl? I don't know that I am. At this point in time, I might be a no. If I am not a no, I'm a yes, but indifferent, because I don't know what is on the schedule. There's a couple places that we might be able to go, but I don't care about it, and I want to love the NFL. I loved the St. Louis Rams. My dad had season tickets. When my brother went to college, I was the plus one on the tickets for all of those years that we were absolutely horrible. And I kept going, and I kept loving them, and it hurts to think about the way that it was ripped out of this city, the way the city was abused, and I am actively angry at it. I'm not indifferent to it. The worst thing is when I start watching it, and I'm like, gosh, this is so fun to watch. So I kind of am averse to watching it. What about you?
I love watching the Super Bowl with my dad. I have zero interest in the game. Actually, I shouldn't say that. It's entertaining to watch. This year, I would say I'm probably rooting for the Chiefs a little bit, but I don't care that much.
Do you find yourself rooting for somebody?
I'll tell you why I do, is because we will buy squares on one of those boards.
So you're rooting for you.
So you're rooting for you. Well, sometimes you might be rooting for a team to score in situations, or you might have had something where this team has to win for you to win or whatever. But my son is now 10. And when I told him Super Bowl's coming up, I think he already knew that. But he also was like, oh, I just can't wait to go over to Grandpa's.
Aww.
It's just so fun. And I it kind of ginned that up in me again.
Sure.
Being a kid and just enjoying it's the atmosphere. That's what's fun about it.
Yeah, that's a good party. 314-241-9797 if you want to give us a call and tell us if you're watching the Super Bowl. Chris, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What are your plans for the Super Bowl?
Not watching it.
Not watching? How come?
Ever since the NFL took a knee against American flag, I turned them off and the NBA.
Both of them? And is there anything they could do to win you back?
No.
No?
No. They showed their true colors.
Expansion? Are you in St. Louis, Chris, in the St. Louis area?
Yes.
If an expansion team came here and they went hardcore patriotic and tried to make good on all of these things, show great support for our local law enforcement and everything, try to do all the right things, you're not winnable?
No. I've got family that's law enforcement, and the way this country turned their back on all these poor people that are out there risking their lives for us every day is wrong. Mm. And you had owners that backed and stood behind them, the players, and the players wouldn't be able to do what they're doing without the service, without the police department, the fire department, you know, basically all of them.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, Chris. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is, I don't know how old Chris was, and we have another Chris on the YouTube channel that said he's not winnable either, and he goes, I'm saying the same thing as Chris on the radio is saying, that they're over and done with it. I love a redemption story. I love the full apology and the action to back it up. I like the comeback story. I desperately want to see that with Anheuser-Busch locally. I want them to come back in full patriotic red, white, and blue, Eagles soaring, Clydesdales roaring through an open field, the whole thing. I want to see it all, and I want to champion that again. You just have to believe it, though.
Yeah, and they're trying. AB is.
I think so, but I really think it would go a long way, not just specifically for them, but for a lot of these people to be like, we blew it.
Yeah.
Do an interview.
Say it.
We blew it. And then back it up with your action, because I'm open to watching people's actions. I'm always more interested in your actions than your words. But I don't want any of these plays. I want people to acknowledge the error of their ways and be willing to correct it. But I also get people who are like, no, I'm done. I invested too much of my money, of my heart, my soul, my time into what you trampled on. And you trampled on something too near and dear to my heart that I'm not interested anymore. You're dead to me.
I don't think the NFL has changed course either. Mm-mm. I think they've backed off of going that speed.
Because the winds have changed.
Because the winds, mm-hmm. That's exactly right. But they haven't changed course.
Let's get to Bob. Bob, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What about you? Are you watching the Super Bowl?
You know, I loved football. I'm 70 years old. I watched football since Joe Namath won the Super Bowl. And I wouldn't watch the football now. I wouldn't watch the Super Bowl for anything. It's such, they've turned it so racist, so DEI. They're pandering toward their new audience. That's why we don't have any good Super Bowl halftime shows anymore. Now we got who? Kendrick Lamar.
Is he the one?
Yeah, he's this year.
Yeah. I was at the last Super Bowl when the Rams lost to the Patriots, and they had Paul McCartney, they had U2, and I watched Springsteen and The Who and all these people. And I'm not just saying because they're all white, but how about AC/DC or how about country acts for the Super Bowl? They're too busy having all the rappers and all that. It's just really become, besides kneeling and this and that, it's really become way too political, way too racist, and I don't need that.
Bob, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. You wanted to say something?
Well, I just wonder, and this is kind of an open question for anybody listening too, even if you're not going to call in, but does it change anything for you that Trump's going to be there this year? You know, is that an act of, all right, let's get back to normal from Trump? Or is he just kind of using this as an opportunity to
I
get
really
the
want to live in the world where everything isn't about what politics mm-hmm. said entity. I said this earlier, in January. Folks, if you listen to the show for a long time, you know that I take Disney World trips with my family. I love those trips. It is my most cherished memories of going to Florida and spending that time that is full of joy. And it does take place at Disney World. And I love it. And I don't talk about it. I have not talked about it much on the show because the amount of hate that I get from people when I talk about the fact that I enjoy that with my family, that my family loves it, the accusations of what I'm doing when I go there, I've been quiet about it. But the truth of the matter is I want to use my words to affect change. And yes, it's a huge company, it's a huge entity, as is the NFL. But watching Donald Trump show up at the NFL and I think the biggest reason he's going there is post New Orleans New Year's Day thing. I think he's trying to say it is safe in America. I think that that is something that he's trying to do. I really am. I have zero interest in using my thoughts and opinions on any particular entity and forcing them on anybody else and their decisions on how to spend their money, to spend their time. I don't feel I don't feel as much of an active participant in, I must not watch the Super Bowl. I'm more in the indifferent category. Like if the family wants to go hang out with friends and be with good people at the Super Bowl party, I'm going to be there, and I'm not going to be like, no, I'm not.
That's where I'm at too.
Yeah. But at the same time, if like these callers, if they are disinterested because of the things that they're putting on the NFL, which I think the NFL has earned those judgments, I'm not going to sit here and tell them you should give it a chance because Donald Trump is giving it a chance. Like, we have to go back to the time where we make our own decisions based on the information that is in front of us and that we mind our own gosh darn business. Cancel culture is where, if you want to cancel me because I like to enjoy family vacations with my kids at Disney World, that to me is not a conservative value. You are not furthering your cause when you do that. Me holding it over somebody else about whether you do participate in the NFL stuff or you don't participate in it. We have to advocate for good, smart handling of all of these sensitive situations that do have to do with race. I saw that the NFL is taking end racism out of the
end zone,
and they're putting choose love in there.
Oh, I didn't see the choose love thing.
I saw that, and I thought to myself, well, that should help. And the person who was commenting on it was mad because it didn't make you choose love, doesn't make you search your soul the way end racism does. I'm like, it's a football game. There isn't soul searching. This is the opposite of soul searching. This is brute force, physical aggression, mano a mano, at least to this point. You're out there, you're hitting each other, you're trying to hit each other hardest, and you're trying to get this ball from here over to there. When you get to the end zone, you do the stanky leg or something. You're not like soul searching. That's not what it's for. It's football. If you're investing your time in watching a football game so you can do soul searching, I've never watched that kind of football game before.
I saw Matt Walsh post a obviously fake conversation with his son where his son comes to him and says, Daddy, is this supposed to be a signal to us that we're supposed to start racisming again? And he says, I don't know, son. We're all just so confused now that the NFL has done this that I'm not sure how we're supposed to act now. I didn't know about the choose love thing, though. I didn't know they were replacing it with something.
I'm always worried that I see those things on X and it's like the extra step, the extra liberty that someone said. I don't know. Maybe I suggested it. And if it happens, it started here because of some rando tweet I read. I don't know. Brad, before we go to break, your answer to this question, are you watching the Super Bowl?
So I share a lot of the same experience as you. The Rams were my team. The Rams are the team. The St. Louis Rams were the team that made me fall in love with the NFL. And they're also the team that broke my heart really whenever they left the thing. So I have stayed away from it, but I will be watching it. But indifferent to the outcome, the only reason I'll be watching it is because the kids in the youth group wanted to have a Super Bowl party. And so I'm going to have a Super Bowl party with the kids in the youth group, and I'm going to spend time hanging out with them and letting them have a good time.
Let's take a quick break. And I also want to get to some of the things that Doge is finding out in a way that only can be presented by Senator Kennedy. Let us know what you think online. To the YouTube live chat poll, are you watching the Super Bowl? Yes, go Chiefs. Yes, go Eagles. Yes, but indifferent. No, let us know.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, listen up.
Now, Mr. Musk started with the USAID. That handles a lot of foreign aid for America. American people are very generous. But I'll tell you what Mr. Musk discovered. I find it fascinating. He discovered that the American taxpayers are giving money to Afghanistan. He found that we are giving money to Yemen. He found that we are giving money to Syria. I didn't know that. Some of our foreign aid is going to Yemen, Afghanistan, Syria. He found that the USAID has 10,000 people, 10,000 people, employees, and every year they give away $40 billion. He found that the USAID gave money to support electric vehicles in Vietnam. Our money, taxpayer money. He found that the USAID gave money to a transgender clinic in India. I didn't know that. I bet you the American people didn't know that. He found that The USAID gave $1.5 million to a Serbian LGBTQ group called Grupa Izadaji. I probably mispronounced that. My apologies. Anyway, they got $1.5 million to, quote, advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces and business communities. He reviewed a study and then went and checked it. The study was done by the Middle East Forum. They found that USAID spent $164 million to support radical organizations around the world. We're not talking Cub Scout troops here. We're talking about radical organizations around the world. They gave $122 million of that to groups aligned with foreign terrorist organizations. Our taxpayer money. According to this report in Mr. Musk, the USAID has given millions of dollars to, quote, organizations in Gaza controlled by Hamas. Why aren't my colleagues talking about that? Recipients of the money they found have, quote, called for their lands to be cleansed from the impurity of Jews. That's what we're giving foreign aid to. I kind of find what he's found out interesting. He found that we gave $2 million, USAID did, for sex changes in Guatemala. He found that we gave $20 million to produce a new Sesame Street show in Iraq. He found that we gave $4.5 million of taxpayer money to combat disinformation in Kazakhstan. He found that we gave $10 million, USAID did, of meals to an Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group called the Nusra Front. Mr. Musk found that we gave $7.9 million of taxpayer money to a project that would teach Sri Lankan journalists to avoid binary gendered language. The USAID took $8 million and gave it to a bunch of journalists in Sri Lanka to teach them how to avoid binary gendered language. I don't know what the hell binary gendered language is. I think I do. You think most taxpayers would support that? Why aren't we talking about that? The USAID gave $1.5 million to promote LGBT advocacy in Jamaica. They gave $1.5 million to rebuild the Cuban media ecosystem. They gave $1.5 million for, quote, art for inclusion of people with disabilities in Belarus. Another $3.9 million for LGBT causes in Macedonia. $8.3 million for equity and inclusion education in Nepal. I could go all night.
You know, it's not often that I'll play like 4 minutes of a clip on this show. But that's what the American people need to be hearing right now. These are real facts. Every single one of those dollars, I'm offended at myself that when I hear it's an M million, I'm like, well, that's not as much. Did they say $40 billion get shoveled out the door of your taxpayer dollars? They want to raise taxes on you. That's the government's always looking to take more of your money. Elon Musk is highlighting all of these things. Now they're stopping it. If it's a worthy cause, they're leaving it. I think that there was some cancer research in Africa or something like that, or maybe slowing the spread of HIV or something that I heard earlier today, maybe on Kilmeade's show, and they were talking about how that was left. It's not like if USAID funds it, it's gone. How in the world can we as taxpaying American citizens say we should be signing all of these checks when we can't fund the most basic things? Everyone's freaking out about Medicare and Social Security. Your Medicare, your Social Security is more safe today than it ever was because we are shoring up dollars all over the place that are being spent in useless ways to the American individual that will allow our government to invest in and support the things that Americans need. And by virtue of doing that, we will become a more economically healthy country, and therefore we'll be able to be more generous globally. But you have to take care of home first. And letting Senator Kennedy, good for him for going on the floor. I know other people have done this as well. And listing these things that are absolutely absurd. I don't know who hears that and says, absolutely, we've got to stay on this.
Trump said, I think yesterday, in one of his many, 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 many press appearances, you want to save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? You better be pretty glad you elected me, because if you had Joe Biden here, all these things would be going bankrupt. And I'm going to save them by cutting spending elsewhere. Guess what happens when you go bankrupt? Everything goes away. So if you are financially solvent, you can actually keep some of these programs.
And the thing that's really irks me, but also, again, fortifies the understanding of what we've been dealing with, where we've been versus where we are now. All of those things that Senator Kennedy listed, they're all newsworthy things. They're all things that the American people have every right to know because the American people are paying for them. That is a huge, huge story, but not for CNN. That's not the story for CNN.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online. So that would be one way that we could refer to him. He is now working at Musk's behest inside Doge. And we looked into his background. And so we found, you know, several notable things, Aaron, one of which is that this individual has founded multiple companies, including one with another unfortunate name, Tesla.Sexy LLC, which he established in 2021. He would have been around 16 years old. Now, this LLC controls dozens of web domains.
So you have...
Yes, so this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls.
What's the expose here?
The story for CNN is the people who are doing the rooting out. The story is not the money. The millions and billions of your taxpayer dollars that are being spent on outrageous things. And it's funny to me, the sexual nature by which a lot of these things are being funded, because a lot of the things are LGBTQ things. Those are sexual preferences. So there's a sexual nature in that. But when she says... unfortunately named Big Balls. Oh, shame, shame.
Yeah, people are like, and then also unfortunately named company that he started when he was 16. How, oh my gosh, that's immediately you hear that, you go, he started a company? How evil could this kid be?
Does it matter the people who are involved in this process? Yeah, probably does. I don't want them to be bad people, but all they're trying to do is discredit the information that is coming out, the Doge is finding. The only thing that matters to them is that they discredit Elon Musk, because then they discredit Donald Trump. It's the only thing that matters to these people. And the, like, do you hear yourself when you're on there saying Big Balls?
Also,
do you hear it?
Look,
does it sound the same to you when you say Big Balls as it does to us to watch you on CNN lamenting the tragedy that is the Elon Musk Doge effort under the Donald Trump presidency? And you're like, shame, shame, Big Balls. And we're all like, that's even funnier than yesterday.
Tesla.sexy. I don't think so. They could have gone in on any one of those things that Senator Kennedy just outlined for probably an hour. I was writing down some of them just because I was like, you could do entire segments on one thing in this list. And they're not talking about any of it.
Because it's not the story. The story is predetermined. It's always baked in the cake for these people. So this is Joy Reid. What does she have to say about all of
this? And on his LinkedIn, and I apologize to the saints out there, and we know a lot of the saints listen to the show, he called himself Big B-A-L-L-S. I won't say the whole word, so I won't be vulgar. That's what he calls himself. So Big B-A-L-L-S has all of our Social Security data and maybe downloaded it, maybe didn't share it, maybe did.
I think the word you were looking for is balls.
What about the saints, Annie?
Who is she talking about? Is she just talking about Christian people?
I don't know. Maybe?
Yeah.
The saints? Maybe. Maybe she's talking about the team.
Probably not. Probably not. The story is predetermined. There's no amount of fraud or waste or excess pork project spending that these people are going to... Like, There's nothing that's going to be uncovered that they're going to go, we really don't need to be spending those dollars.
At what point ever has Joy Reid led with, I don't want to offend anybody who's a Christian, but here's what's really going on. I'm going to spell this word because of the saints. That has never happened.
She's used the F word on the air before, hasn't she?
I have no idea.
I think she has. Very selective.
This is bizarro. They really have no standard. It's just whatever Trump's doing, that must be bad. Let me do the opposite of that thing.
I'll add here, there is a video on X right now. Nick Sorter tweeted it out, but the sign for USAID is being taken down. The stone sign.
It's symbolic.
It's coming down. So I guess the agency, is it done? Is it done? I know that Marco Rubio took it over as Secretary of State, but yeah. Let's take a quick break. When we come back at the end of the next segment, we're going to get the results of today's YouTube live chat poll. Are you watching the Super Bowl? Yes, go Chiefs. Yes, go Eagles. Yes, but indifferent. Or no? Are we all three yes, but indifferent? I'm between that and no.
I'm between yes, indifferent, and yes, go Chiefs.
I'm a yes and indifferent.
What are you? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, vote. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We'll get those poll results here in about 10 minutes from right now. So get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, YouTube.com/@AnnieFry. And you can vote there and let us know if you're watching the Super Bowl. Go Chiefs, go Eagles. You're watching, but you're indifferent or no. You know, we're talking with some of the callers that we had earlier in this hour about the NFL. The NFL is clearly dead to them. They've dug their grave. They can rest in it now. I talked about, you know, my affection and for Disney World specifically and things Disney and the connection that I have to that with my family. And I always, when I comment on it, I always want to emphasize the fact that I want to see Disney get back to being great again, which is kind of an overused phrase or whatever. But I do want to see them move away from all the DEI crap that has really sullied, no pun intended, a lot of the content that they have put out in the past 15 years or so. I want to see them get back on their feet. I want them to push away the things that people don't like about them. And I want them to get back to the business of making great, of telling great stories and providing great experiences. For you, is there anything that you can think of, Ryan and Brad, that has had a dip? You know, the NFL is one of them, of course. Disney is another. But is there anything that has really fallen out of favor that you're really cheering for the opportunity for it to resurge, to come back greater than ever? And that, you know, as much as you've been angry at that said thing, as much as you've been frustrated and disappointed and judgmental of how low that thing has gotten, that you would be equally joyful and excited to champion it once again if it came back with in a state of glory. Do either of you have something?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Star Wars.
I wondered if you'd say that.
It was the Star Wars franchise. I have, like, when it came back for the very first episode, the episode where they enter.
Before you get too deep into this as a non-Star Wars person, what Star Wars do you like and what don't you like?
So I like the original trilogy, the prequels, the first.
You like the prequels?
Yes.
Because people didn't like those at first.
They didn't like them at first. I always did like them, and I never understood why people didn't. There was, you know, whatever. But I thought I was super excited when they were going to come back out with Episode 7, where they introduced Rey and Finn and all those other people. And that movie was okay, but I feel like they played it too safe. And then they just lost me from there on out. The Mandalorian was good. But
what is it that Star Wars did when they took the turn that was wrong for you? What is it that they focused on that missed the mark from you as a fan and other people? Because I hear people complaining about it all the time.
Where they really lost me was whenever they missed the mark on Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker was the main character of the original trilogy, and he was the kid that would not give up on his father, who was the most evil man in the universe. He's Darth Vader, the baddest dude.
He was like the one that was better than all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was the one. He wouldn't give up. And he kept fighting and kept fighting. He threw his lightsaber away in the Death Star and said, I'm not going to strike him down. He's my dad. I believe in him. And he redeemed his dad. This guy. And then they write this story where we're supposed to believe that he had a force vision of his nephew that was he was going to be bad and he was going to kill him in his sleep. And I'm like, this is totally unbelievable. Luke Skywalker doesn't run and hide on an island because
so the thing that made
like
Luke
that.
Skywalker great, they just completely trashed.
They completely trashed it. I mean, I think Mark Hamill's on record saying this, and they trashed Luke Skywalker. They trashed Han Solo. They made him out to be a deadbeat dad. They trashed the only person they didn't trash was Leia, but they made her good. And then it just, they ruined the characters that I fell in love with in an effort to prop up the characters they
wrote. How do they fix it? Not necessarily the specific storyline, but would you like that to see them tell the story as if those episodes never happened? Just like take a whole new stab at it and we sucked at that. We're doing it again.
Retconning it would make me super happy. They wouldn't have to do that. Just get back to telling good stories in that universe because that is a rich field with so much material. And all you don't push a political message. Don't do anything like that. Just focus on telling a good, fun story. Pay attention to the source material. Make sure it lines up with what the universe that you're writing it from is.
Is there money to be made by doing that?
Absolutely, because people like me will then take their kids and their grandkids.
You're not indifferent to it. You're mad at it.
I'm mad at it.
And you want to be happy at it.
Yeah, I want it to be good again.
Do you have anything like that?
I do. It's Saturday Night Live.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I really root for Saturday Night Live, too. I love that show.
Like, you peek in every once in a while, and you're like, is it good? And then you're like, it's not good.
And well, they actually can hit a double or a triple every now and then,
still. You know who kills it on Saturday Night Live?
Nate Bargatze.
Yes.
Bargatze.
Yes. He does. Have you seen... I was going to play this. I forgot to pull it up. Have you seen the skit he does as a golfer?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send it to you guys. I'll tweet it out here too, but he's it's to me it's classic like Steve Martin stuff.
That's great.
He's a golfer and he's like he does golf a lot, so that's something he definitely does. But he's out golfing and it's like he's being covered by the PGA or whatever, and like every stroke he does something is incredibly devastating. Like the first stroke he takes, he blows a bird up in the air, and then the next one he like hooks it a little bit and it lands in like an eagle's nest.
I assume just watching Nate Bargatze hit shots and they're narrating this.
Well, they've got like the golf narrators on the side and they're doing the play-by-play of it. And I mean, it's just like, I don't know. It was like classic Steve Martin kind of old fashioned, like you're just watching him struggle in the most absurd, obscene ways. It's just funny.
Yeah.
There's nothing about it. There's no end racism / choose love in the end zone of these comedy sketches. It's just silly and it's funny. And that's what Nate Bargatze does. He just talks about life and he does it in a way that is relatable and hilarious because he calls things out in the open that everybody experiences, but you don't talk about until you hear him talk about it and you're like, oh, yes, obviously. SNL's a really good one.
And I'm really okay with them doing political humor. They've done political humor for a long time. And in the 90s, it was super funny, I guess because it was Clinton. But when they were making fun of whether it be Reagan or George H.W. Bush, even George Bush to an extent, I thought it got a little mean during his
term. The 4 years of Donald Trump, term two, could be some of the best stuff that SNL's ever done.
Yeah, it's okay to do political stuff. It's just that you have to have a little bit of a balance. And we've said before, like when Alec Baldwin was doing it, there was no real, I hate to say love, but there was no real respect for the actual president in
when
that.
When you do a set like that, the most amazing moment that can happen in one of those sets, and they do this from time to time, is the actual person walks onto the scene. Where you have, you know, the character, if you had a George H.W. Bush out there, and then you have, was it Dana Carvey who did him? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, if George H.W. Bush comes out there, and they're like in on the joke. They can handle it. They can see it. And you put those people on there together. They tried to do that with Kamala Harris. But it wasn't for fun. It was for votes. Mm-hmm. And that's what's been so apparent with SNL for so long. I, like you, want it to be great. I want edgy humor. Dave Chappelle does great, too.
Yeah, they've actually, in the last 12 months, and maybe this is a Trump thing, because it's even more recent than that, actually, is they've moved back toward old stand-up comedians. And stand-up comedians are controversial. Usually the ones that are good, they're not doing stuff that's safe. They're doing stuff that pushes the boundary. And I've seen, you know, pictures of Nate Bargatze. Am I pronouncing? Okay, Nate Bargatze out with Lorne Michaels and a bunch of other people, like having intimate dinners. And I'm just wondering, are they picking up on this? Are they starting to realize that America wants not, they don't want edgy for the sake of edgy.
Well, I think the question is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Do they care what America wants, or do they? Because there is, I think SNL has carved out an audience that will sustain them in that fashion. And you kind
like a partisan audience, you mean?
Yeah, I mean it's like group therapy. You go there to hate the same people, and it's
they seem to be shifting though.
Well,
a little bit,
but I think that's because so many people have broken the mold by saying you don't have to do this. Like you can live in that world. You can watch MSNBC. They're living in that world. They're not. They should live in that world. CNN should not live in that world. CNN should do news, and they should have opinions that come from all different places. You can have your raging leftist and your raging rightist. You can have those people go at it hard and have that discussion be the content. Saturday Night Live has chosen to be the MSNBC of comedy. And that's a small group of people that they know are going to rely on. Okay, they said the thing we needed to hear. It's the shot in the arm that gets you through the week. But what I think your point is that they're peeking around the corner and going, there's a lot more out there. They're going to lose some of those fish in the tiny pond that they're fishing in right now if they make any joke that makes Donald Trump look even remotely relatable, human.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're going to lose some of those fish, but I think that they're looking at that right now and going, but how big is the other pond?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that SNL is a great one. Star Wars is a great one.
And there's an easy way for them to turn that corner, too. Last point I'll make about it. They just need to hire me as a writer.
Okay. Well, then what are we going to do?
Well, I'll still come here, but I'll do that at night. That's Saturday Night Live.
I have a feeling you wouldn't.
Right before then, don't you?
I would love to know more from you folks on things that you would like to see be made great again. Because I think that I'm a huge, strong advocate of giving people the room to improve and not writing it off like, oh, the right, we beat you and you suck and now you're going to fade to black. I'd really like to see people go, we blew that, but we care and we want to come back better than ever. Ethan, welcome to the show.
Hi.
You want to give us the results of today's poll? You want to give us your answer as well?
Absolutely. I'm watching the Super Bowl and go Eagles because the
Woo!
Chiefs, you know, I don't support devil magic and
Woo!
That's what the Chiefs are on.
Ooh, man. You think the refs cheat?
No, okay. I don't.
Do you think they're really into the black arts, though?
No. Stop it! Stop it! Give us the results.
424 votes for today's YouTube live chat poll. Are you watching the Super Bowl? 49% say yes, go Chiefs. 9% say yes, go Eagles. 18% say yes, but indifferent. And 25% say no.
Man, 9% of 424 votes are cheering for the Eagles, and you're one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I'm cheering for the Chiefs, but if I watch it, I'll just kind of let it flow. I actually always end up cheering for the team that loses because I just feel sorry for the moms that are watching their children lose. That's the God's honest truth. It's so true. Margarita Show coming up next. Don't go away.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.